there. I want to welcome you all
into the
Welcome, Metalheads. This is another episode of Into the Combine. I'm Shoddy.
Jason.
Stan the Man.
And we got a very special episode for you guys. I guess they're all fucking special. We need to say something else.
Yeah.
I have a different episode or an intriguing episode for you guys. We have
we got a party episode today.
That's a good fucking, you know, whatever you just used.
Party.
Wilson. We're talking Wilson today. We've got an interview with Chad Nicefield of the band Wilson. If you guys haven't listened to him yet, They kind of have the feel of a Friday night party. Check out their albums, Full Blast Fuckery, and then their newest release, Right to Rise. Different albums. If you like Every Time I Die and Maylene, that kind of party feel, then go with check out Full Blast first. But they hold on to that sound a little bit, matured a little bit, but held on to it, and they put out Right to Rise. Also a very phenomenal album. And we talked to Chad a little bit about that one. He's in the studio right now. We got a little bit of tidbits about what they're doing.
Some touring coming up. So, yeah, I guess just enjoy. Don't give a hell.
Here with Chad Wilson, Chad Nicefield from Wilson.
You can call me Chad Wilson, that's okay.
Okay, so Chad Wilson, how would you describe your music to someone who may be one of our listeners that has never heard your band before?
Well, we are a rock and roll band from Detroit, Michigan. We prefer our rock loud and in your face. We typically like to describe our sound as the best Friday night on earth you have yet to experience in your ear holes. And we try to live up to that exact expectation of that sound on stage live in front of an audience.
Cool, dude. So did I hear right? Are you in the, you're in the studio right now?
Yeah, I'm down in South Carolina currently. Jason and I are down here doing some writing and recording while we have some time off.
Cool. Okay, so you guys are already starting the process on the next album.
Yeah, we're constantly working. That's the name of the game. I think that's probably akin to how we were raised and where we're from. You never stop. You know?
So you guys did, we've been, you know, obviously we're all from Detroit here. So we've been following you guys since Standing on the Reel to Full Blast Fuckery to this new album. You know, what are you guys going for on this next album compared to what you're doing right now, what you did on the last album?
I mean, you know, the band prides ourselves on what we do, and that's play a rock and roll that's kicking you in your genitalia. However, as we continue to grow as people, so would we like our band to grow. We don't want to put out the same record and the same sounds and the same thing over and over. As cliche as that sounds, so I would expect on a Sex record, which isn't anywhere near like the creation. We've just been starting to write and create stuff while we have some downtime. But I wouldn't expect it to be anything less than what Wilson already does times a billion.
Right, I got you. So, okay, I guess let's just go. How do you guys usually approach the writing process? I think I read you guys, you did a lot of the writing. I think you and Jason did a lot of the writing before, and then you guys changed that up a little bit on Right to Rise. You know, can you talk about that a little bit?
Right to Rise is the first time that we did a record, I guess what they would call the proper way in terminology as far as like the record industry goes, where we like sat down and started recording the record with the producer from the very beginning, the demos and all that sort of stuff that we demoed out ourselves and wrote. But we were in a room together, essentially, over the course of 6 months, a couple months here, a month there, a couple weeks here. So the process there was very much a group effort, including, our producer who, we were with the entire time, other than the fact that we had demos and things like that that we brought in on our own accord. But that was a new process for us as Wilson, because instead of Jason and I writing the bulk of the stuff and then bringing it to the band and then, going from there, this is like, kind of from the beginning, from the first note, from before a word was even written type sort of stuff.
Okay, so then, man, to feed off of some of the, the writing process and the creative ability in the studio, being from Detroit, how do you guys, seem to embody, the feel of the city? I mean, you guys are really, aside from, having the fun and, being, fuck it, who cares about anything? It's, you guys, I see a lot of Detroit stuff in your music. So, I guess just where does that come from?
We wanted to make after all the traveling that we did on the last record, Full Blast Fuckery, to this record, we found, we've always thought that our city is unique, and we've toured and played, music in so many different catalysts before as individuals. But when we went to like places like Europe and all over the U.S. with this group, we realized that the place that we come from, though may have similarities to many places in the world, the people in our story are pretty unique in the fact that, you never really realize those lessons that your parents taught you growing up, that you never give up and no isn't, it isn't an option. You have to survive. I grew up I was born and raised in a town called Port Huron, Michigan. My father drove an hour and a half to work in the city every single day and an hour and a half home just to break bread. In his way of raising us is that there wasn't an if or a can't. You must do it, and that's the way that, we realized that our entirety, the entire existence of our culture as a Detroit has been through a bunch of shit, more so shit than many of other cities, if not more than any other city, in the U.S. at least, with the rise and fall of our industry and the riots and everything that came to fruition in the 60s and then the downfall from there and then building ourselves back up, we realized that we were in a unique place, and we wanted to tell that story in our own way. While we were out on the road, if not for ourselves and explaining who we are, but for the people who built us, Yeah. There's a bunch of debauchery in all of that. That's how we were raised as well. Like when Friday comes at 5 o'clock, all of our families and everybody that we associate with take that weekend very seriously. I don't want to think about Monday till Monday morning, type sort of thing,
Exactly. And like, to be completely honest, like when I first heard Right to Rise, I was kind of worried because we were fans of the older material and I was like, what the hell are they doing? And then I gave it a few more listens. And then, the funny thing is I listened to it, I think one day on a drive home on like a Friday, and I remember Windows Down coming on and like it finally all clicked and I got the whole feel of the record and now it's one of my favorite records that you've done. So talk about that song and that. How do you guys come up with that kind of feel and that kind of song?
That's our favorite track, I think, collectively as a group on the record. And that one was something that we had demoed out as a band and in between my house and the studio, in our practice space. And we were coming up with melody ideas, but I knew right off the bat when I was coming up, the chorus came secondary to the verses. because I wanted to tell a story. I wanted to tell the story because I felt like I was driving really, you know, when you hear it, you know, they kick in, you're like, this feels like I'm going like a million miles per hour on 75, you know, or 94 is what I actually use in the description. But, and I wanted to tell that story about moving forward in life, but not, but you know, sometimes people tend to say, fuck my past, fuck the place I grew up in, fuck my friends, fuck my family, fuck everything, I'm better than this or something like that. And that's by no means our intentions. So I wanted to put some sort of light on that in the people that, you know, created the entire existence. You know, like we started as, you know, I was at one point split in half between my dad's nutsack and my mom's vagina. And that collection of their efforts birthed me. And you never can take that fucking back. You know, who I am now as a 32-year-old male as a direct derivative is derivative directly because of that. So and their personalities and my family, you know, and my friends and all that stuff. And I take that shit very seriously. I think about it every day when I think about, like, you know, I just had a conversation with a guy that we're recording with about a band called Orange 9mm, who I found out when I was, you know, in the 90s when I stumbled upon a record collection of one of my best friends, whose also name is Chad, his older brother. And, you know, and we dove into those records, and that's how we discovered things like nu metal and Limp Bizkit and all this shit. And if I didn't have that moment, that awakening, I wouldn't be here right now talking to you on the phone about any of this shit. So it was just important, you know, lyrically, and that I talked about that sort of stuff. Try to paint a picture, though, that was, you know, positive.
Right on. So, you know, like I said, it took me a minute to get into the new album just because you guys did change your style quite a bit. But once I did, it totally clicked because I gave it a couple extra spins. Did you guys notice any difference or any negative feedback from the fans? Like, did you guys lose any fans and gain new ones? Or I guess, you know, what was the major feedback you guys noticed?
You know, it's funny, you know, like, there's in any sort of art, though, isn't your intention to be criticized. It's going to be because it's all about taste. You know, like some say that classic phrase, you know, like, you know, well, it's just not your cup of tea or whatever it is, or suit yourself, that sort of thing. And it's expected. And as you grow older, you realize that even more. It still fucking hurts, especially when you see, like, something on the internet from somebody who you knew, you could see them, like, talking greatly about your band a few years before, and then you'd be like, fuck that band, they sound like fucking butt rock or something like that. And I'm like, well, let me just explain to you how... I mean, but, you know, if I had to sit down and give them all the Jane Silent Bob, you know, go to their doors and be like, hey, did you say this shit on the internet about my band? I would be taking away from making the next move towards crafting things that people who do get the band and are into what we're doing love. And that's really the only thing that I should be paying attention to in an artist in general. Though criticism and critique, if constructive, is necessary more than anything, because you'd just be turning out the same bullshit and you'd never be opening up any other avenues for yourself. But I do, to answer your question, you know, you see some of that, but I know also that because of some of the changes that we made with the band, we've opened up our palettes to many more opportunities for other people to absorb the band. I don't want to alienate anybody who likes the band, but I, at the same token, I want to find, I hope that you understand the process and that you respect the band, not only as people, but as musicians enough to give the record a full listen. Because if you take one little egg, you know, in a fucking dozen of eggs and it's shitty, that doesn't mean the whole fucking dozen is shitty. Just give it a second, you know, get through there and understand the piece as a whole, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I totally get it because that's what I did, you know, and I just think the problem is a lot of people these days, you know, aren't buying the albums, and you're not, like, I bought the album, and, you know, I listened to it a few times, and that's when it grabbed me, which is, I think, what you're supposed to do with an album. You get a change of style. But what was it that led to this change of style? Like, were you guys listening to different albums? I know, you know, you guys got older by the time you wrote this album, but what were the big influences that led to that change in style?
I mean, you kind of nailed it when you said, like, you know, when you talked about, like, Jason and I doing the majority of stuff, and also, you know, a lot of that shit on Full Blast Fuckery, We loved the fuck out of it. We loved everything about the record, and especially because it came from a place that was so genuine. There was never a process in that writing, never a time in that process of writing that record where we thought about it after we wrote it down. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like, that's the part, let's record it, we're done, next part. It was a sense of commitment to the song. And that's what Steve Evans, who did that record, for the most part, you know, he preaches that. So we got along really, really greatly because he's like, you like that? Like, yes, I like that. You like that? Okay, cool. This is art. This is your art. Fucking put it to tape. Move on. However, in this process, we changed because we were letting the song build and breathe for itself, including everybody else that was in the room. So we thought about melody a little bit more. You know, like, what sounds better in this? You know, what melody works instead of saying, like, this is a melody, do-do-do-do, and that's what we're going to think about. What if it was like, do-do-do-do, you know? And that sounded just phonetically the words that you were trying to write or better with the melody and blah, blah, blah. That's how those changes made. We just paid more attention. We were becoming songwriters and people that were interested in growing, you know?
And since you guys are recording now, I mean, are you guys taking the same approach? And I guess, do you have any idea of what you want to get out of this next album? Are you guys going to kind of follow the same path? I know you said you don't want to do the same album again, but do you have any kind of idea of where you guys are going next?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we listen to some of these demos, I mean, some of them are fucking just as heavy as Full Blast Fuckery, if not heavier. And then some of them are, you know, they're not, when I say light, I'm not going up there singing love ballads or something like that. But, you know, I love playing with, I mean, we're sitting here in the studio right now. We're playing with just ideas, like tone, like things like, all right, how about we play this particular part on this strange instrument that we have never used in our band ever before, just to see how it sounds mixed with everything else. And that process in opening, we don't close any doors, you know, there's all sorts of possibilities, and we would like to continue that growth as musicians. And I think we're going to be a little bit more selfish, if that makes any sense, in this particular time around by being like, all right, no, you know, this is what we feel, how we feel, you know, like, and we're going to make sure that is clear from the very beginning of the record to the very end of the creation of the record, because, you know, you're starting to dabble in a whole other world now where you have, like, you know, a label and all these people that are counting on you and think, you know, but you need to make sure that they believe in you, you know, and the end product of this next record that we're working on, that we will be working on, is going to be that same collaborative style of Wilson that you heard. Because we're not going to revert back to just Jason and I, but we're going to make sure that there's no punches missed, if that makes any sense.
No, it does, man. Right on. So I know that you guys have a European tour coming up with Hailstorm. Could you maybe tell us a little bit more about that? And then I know that you guys toured with them in the past, so what's the reason for doing that again?
Okay, so we're going over to Europe, mainland Europe, to support Hailstorm for a handful of dates, and then we're going over to the UK to headline for the first time ever, and there's about 12 of those shows. So I think it's like 20 shows total, and we were invited back to go over and play with Hailstorm. We became really good friends with them. They're probably one, if not the most beautiful group of people that we've ever met. They're like, you know, hands down, so genuine and so real, like, in every aspect of it, as human beings for sure, and the way that they carry themselves and what they're doing. They've been a band, you know, that they've been a band since they were fucking children together. The four of them have never been anything else other than that, you know, especially Lizzie and her brother, but then enter the other two. And they've been playing together since they were like 16, 17 years old. They don't play to a click track. There's no backing tracks. There's no any of that other stuff there. It's the four of them, their voices and their instruments. And that's magical. So when you see that happen on stage, it's inspiring, you know, and we will take any opportunity to be around them that we can, because it, like I said, not only are they great people, but they're incredibly inspiring. And it's an honor to be around human beings like that.
That's awesome. And then I guess to build off of that, then maybe somebody who might not be so pleasant to be around, but I mean, I have to ask you this question because I grew up loving him and the whole CKY movement as a kid, but I know that you guys toured with Bam Margera for Fuckface Unstoppable. Can you talk about maybe how he was on tour, or maybe just about that experience? I don't know, maybe a funny story that you have? Because, I mean, we've seen the things on TV, and we know he's a character.
Right. I mean, I would love to have met Bam in the heyday, you know, when Bam was before everything else hit Bam. And then I'd love to be around Bam now because he's sober. And I'd like to know what that person is like. And the, between those two people is what you have Bam then. And Bam is very, he's also working on like a new movie and a show when we're on the road with him. So like our interpersonal relationships weren't bad. It just was very, it was very like, I'm doing this work and I'm also doing this work. And also I'm extremely fucked up, you know, like on drugs and alcohol. And see him as clean as he's been and things like that. And yeah, his brother, Jeff, became a really good friend. Everybody else in the band, which is still, I talk to, like, you know, we, you know, relatively pretty often. And we still, like, you know, send each other funny photos and, you know, Happy New Year texts and stuff like that. I mean, Bam was just in a different place in his head then when we were touring with him. And since then, it's changed. I'd love to, I wish him nothing but the best. And I wish we would have had a little bit more time to get to know him, you know, in other ways than playing music and, you know, him going through what he was going through at the time.
So in a similar vein, you guys did the, I forget what it was called, but the Motorhead cruise a little while back with Lemmy and Motorhead. Did, you know, how did that go? And did you get to meet Lemmy at all? And, you know, because he just recently passed, you know, did that have any impact on you guys?
I didn't get any conversation time with Lemmy, no. The cruise is amazing. I almost died on that cruise. I was partying way too hard and since will never drink Fireball again in my life. But they had to put me on IVs and in the fucking shit hospital and all this shit. I was like, oh, maybe I'll see Lemmy there, but he wasn't in the hospital either. So we just, we had a really good time and we were treated very well by, you know, there's some friends that were on the other bands that are friends of ours around the ship. The rest of the Motorhead guys were great. And we just had a really good experience. Those cruise ships are like the future of seeing live music for sure. I'm very saddened to hear about them, and Lemmy and Motorhead in general are huge influences on myself and the band, and, you know, I've been a fan for a long, long time, so the fact that, you know, we didn't get our having being so close and didn't get the opportunity to at least have him tell me to fuck off would have been, it's kind of a bummer, but, you know, knowing that we did that, and Wilson as an entity was a part of that piece of history is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I can't imagine that opportunity. That sounds like about as good as you can get for a band, being able to do a cruise ship tour. But just to finish up, man, so, you know, you guys are known as, you know, the name is Wilson Parties on Twitter. You know, you guys are known for a good time, an amazing live show. What do you guys, like, what kind of albums or songs are you guys throwing on right about before you guys are going to play, or, like, you know, Friday night you guys are going out and have a good time? What do you put on just to get in the mood?
For the past year now, we've played Danko Jones's Do You Wanna Rock right before we go on stage. Danko Jones, to me, is like a modern-day Motorhead. You know, they got, like, the speed, the attitude, the craft, the fucking, they're three-piece. They've been around for fucking ever, and they haven't gotten their due in the U.S., at least. And I'm a huge fan of them, and I love everything about that band. So that is my, like, between that... You're asking for, like, what kind of music do we listen to, that sort of thing?
Yeah, especially, like, when you want to get amped up. Like, you guys are about to go have a good time. What are you putting on?
All right. I definitely jam Danko Jones. I definitely jam Clutch. I really, 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 really got into that latest Shinedown record. If you haven't listened to it, you should listen to it. It's really good. And I listen to... Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes from the UK. He was a soul singer in the band Gallows. I listen to that pretty much every day. Between Clutch, the Frank Carter, sometimes the Clash as well. I like to listen to, and then I also like to listen to shit like my newer stuff would be like, I like that girl Meg Myers. I like her a lot. She gets me riled up for like sexy time. And you know, kind of like all over the place as far as that stuff kind of goes.
Cool, dude. Well, that's about all we've got. Is there anything you guys you want to say to any of the listeners?
You know, fucking A. Keep on keeping on, you know, life's the garden, dig it.
All right, dude.
Thank you so much, Chad.
Yeah, good luck in the studio with whatever you guys are working on, and we're looking forward to whatever you guys put out next.
Thank you. That's awesome to hear. I really appreciate that.
Safe travels on tour, man. Good luck.
All right, man. You guys should be safe.
Well, we want to thank Chad for taking time out of his busy fucking Tuesday night to sit down with us and do that interview. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Check him out.
Check us out. Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah. Give us some reviews. Give us some comments.
I mean, be sure to, if Wilson does come to your area, check them out because they, you know, they really do. I mean, the CD does them justice, but they are a live band. They're more, you know.
They're hardworking. They, you know, they don't take the easy way out. They go out there and they sweat. Dude, they give it 110%. If you haven't seen them, YouTube them and go freaking watch them.
Good time.
That's it.
That's another episode of Into the Combine. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to leave us some feedback on our MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
This is 2002?
Dude, it's just such habit to say it still. I have no idea why. I guess we don't have a MySpace. Sorry about that, everybody. Check the other out, you know, media outlets out. But again, that was Into the Combine. I'm Shoddy.
Jason.
Stay in the van.
And stay metal, guys.
What's up, weenbags? Tesco V here, the Dutch Hercules, the DJ, his bad self. It's 7 rock and roll degrees on WLSN, right here in the Motor City. Next up to warm the cockles of your black little hearts, it's a new one from our very own Wilson. Dicks up, windows down, and here comes that sweet, sweet fuckery sound.